Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to the Scriptures, may your Holy Spirit guide our thoughts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been embarrassed by being stuck for something to say when trying to make polite conversation at a social function? It used to be quite fashionable to ask a fellow guest to imagine being able to time travel back to a historical event and say why they would like to do so. In fact, no one ever asked me. But if they had, I think I may well have chosen to imagine being present as a silent listener to the conversation on the road to Emmaus, recorded for us by Luke. Certainly Cleopas and his fellow disciple thought it was special. However, before we look at this occasion in detail, let's just remind ourselves of the context and timing. The gospel reading that we have just heard starts with this statement in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So our first question is, which day was that? And the answer is, of course, found in the first verse of the chapter, on the first day of the week. In the previous chapter, chapter 23, we read about Joseph of Arimathea, with permission from Pilate, placing Jesus' body in the tomb. And verse 54 tells us that it was the preparation day, that is Friday, and the Sabbath, that is Saturday, was about to begin. And in verses 55 and 56, we are told that the women saw this and then went home and prepared spices, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience with the commandments. Then chapter 24 continues the narrative. Next day, very early, being the first day of the week, that is Sunday, events began to unfold. Firstly, the women go to the tomb, see two men in shining garments, presumably angels, who invite an inspection of the empty tomb, reminded them of Jesus' words that he must be crucified and on the third day rise again. Naturally, the women went to tell the disciples, but they didn't believe them because their words seemed like nonsense. However, Peter did go back to the tomb and see for himself and saw the empty tomb and went away wondering what had happened. Now we come to our gospel reading this morning, verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Luke firstly describes these two as two of them. And the them must refer to the disciples. We are later told that one of them is named Cleopas, and although Luke doesn't specially say so, it is quite likely that the other was his wife, and it is also likely that they were returning to their home after having been up to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. So it is clear that they were disciples of Jesus, but not part of the group of 12, now 11, apostles, who we know stayed in Jerusalem. 7 miles is quite a hike to get home, even if you are feeling on top of the world and full of beans. But exactly the opposite was the fact of their experience. They were utterly disillusioned and no doubt feeling somewhat foolish for having believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah who was, in their minds, to usher in a new kingdom free from Roman domination. Perhaps they had been part of the crowd spreading palm leaves in front of the donkey as Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem. Now they had to face the truth that Jesus had been crucified and buried in the tomb. Disappointed doesn't begin to describe their mood, and every step home to Emmaus must have been a great effort. Having no mobile phones to scroll whilst walking, they actually talked and discussed things with each other, despite being married. Of course, I'm joking, and it is only speculation that it was man and wife. It could have been two brothers or just two friends living together. However, whatever the case, it was only natural that they would talk about what had happened. Luke doesn't give us details of what they knew, but he does use the expressions "everything that had happened" and "these things," presumably referring to the events that he had just described and which we have just reviewed. As they walked and talked, a stranger caught up with them and walked alongside them, but they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. That seems strange on first reading, but when you think about the situation, you realize that Jesus was the last person they expected to see. He was dead and buried. And their eyes were probably sore from crying, and the setting sun may well have been blinding them as they stumbled along the unmade track. This may explain Luke's comment that when Jesus asked them what they were talking about, they didn't answer as they walked along, but they stood still with their faces downcast. Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? Asks Cleopas. What things? Jesus replies. Obviously, Jesus knew what had happened, but it seems that he wanted Cleopas to say out loud what he remembered and what he understood by it. And Cleopas gives a pretty good summary of the events. And in verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Despite his disappointment, Cleopas does not omit the evidence of the women about the empty tomb, admitting that they had amazed us by what they said. In other words, admitting his doubt that it was true. Jesus, remember, they still haven't recognized him yet, doesn't sympathize with them, but rather starts his response, "How foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Then we come to one of my favorite Bible verses, verse 27. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." I would have loved to have heard that Bible study. Clearly, Jesus had spoken as they continued the walk towards Emmaus, because as they approached the village, He acted as he was going further. But Cleopas and his wife, if it was his wife, in accordance with the customary hospitality, insisted that Jesus join them and stay the night, as the day was almost over. During the evening meal, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? At once they were filled with hope and energy, so much so that they walked another 7 miles back to Jerusalem, probably in the dark, to find the other disciples, probably in the upper room where they had celebrated the Passover meal with Jesus, only to find that they knew that Jesus was alive because he had appeared to Simon Peter. Nevertheless, they shared their own experience of the risen Lord and told how Jesus was recognized them by them when he broke the bread. Apart from being a lovely narrative of our risen Lord making himself known, I think there are some really encouraging lessons that we can take from it for ourselves this morning. Firstly, there was nothing special about Cleopas and his companion. Their following of Jesus had been sincere, but they were not part of the inner circle of the apostles, and they had not heard the detailed teaching of Jesus given to the 12, nor were they at the Last Supper. It is hardly surprising, therefore, that when everything fell apart and their hopes and dreams were shattered, they headed for home with heavy hearts and weary feet. But Jesus came to them and walked with them and took the time to explain to them the scriptures that they obviously knew but had misunderstood. How wonderful that the Lord seeks us out and meets our deepest needs, even though we are nothing special. Secondly, it is worth noting that Jesus revealed himself as the risen Lord first to some women. In those days, very much second-class citizens, even before the chosen apostles. Also, in the case we have studied this morning, Jesus didn't take Cleopas to one side and leave his wife out of the conversation. Be encouraged. Whoever you are, Jesus wants you to know him. Finally, I think we should take to heart the single most important lesson from these events, namely the centrality of the scriptures. I would love to have heard the Bible study on the road to Emmaus, but I have had the privilege of reading and learning from Scripture all my life. May I encourage you to turn to the Scriptures daily. They speak of our glorified, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.